This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Each night, we are here to answer your questions.
This is Lorelei from Anchorage, Alaska.
My name is David Russell.
This is Mike Vonderporten in Santa Rosa, California.
We have tested positive and recovered from COVID-19.
And my question is...
Will a DNR order preclude a patient from being put on a ventilator?
Is there currently a way to test for antibodies to the COVID-19 causing virus?
What is the biological explanation for why some people are silent carriers?
How can I help as someone who has recovered from COVID?
Any advice?
Thank you.
NPR journalists and outside experts are on hand to offer solid facts. We'll tell you what we know and to correct some of the misinformation that's floating around. And when we don't know something, we'll tell you that too. Please send us your questions about health issues, the economy, or even just how to adjust to this new reality we're all dealing with at npr.org/nationalconversation. On Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation. But each night we begin by answering the question, what happened today? President Trump started his daily briefing with some positive news.
The data suggests that nationwide we have passed the peak on new cases. Hopefully that will continue and we will continue to make great progress.
But his announcement to halt funding for the World Health Organization caused widespread backlash. Trump accused the agency of covering up the spread of COVID-19. The director general of the WHO, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, responded this way.
We're learning from many countries about what works, and we're sharing that information with the world.
As cases rise in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser is now requiring residents to wear masks when they go out, and she extended the stay-at-home order until May 15th.
We aim to protect D.C. residents and save lives, and that means doing everything we can to protect our most vulnerable residents.
In New York, the death toll is now 11,000. Officials revised the number to include people who died at home but were never tested for the virus. Britain said their official death toll may be 10% higher for the same reason. Retail sales plummeted in March by 8.9%. Car sales dropped by a quarter. One spot that was up, grocery sales. The Dow closed down for the day, nearly 500 points. And with all of that going on, it's not surprising that you have a lot of questions about the economy and federal relief efforts. So joining us to give us the latest information on those topics is NPR's chief economics correspondent, Scott Horsley. Scott, good to hear from you again.
Good to be with you, Michelle.
So before we dive into the questions, we just mentioned that the Dow is down or was down and retail sales took a hit. Now, these are two indicators that the economy is suffering. And some people might say, well, you know, I don't have stocks. And some people might say, well, I'm not shopping because I'm at home. I don't need anything. But can you explain briefly how this affects all of us?
Sure. Well, the Dow opened down and stayed in the red pretty much all day. It finished, as you mentioned, about down about 1.8%. I think investors were maybe a little spooked by that steep drop in retail sales. It was the worst one-month decline on record. And remember, retail sales make up about two-thirds of the U.S. economy. Now, the drop in sales is not really surprising when you think about all the stores that shut their doors last month because they were trying to slow the spread of the pandemic. Not many people were out buying clothes or cars or furniture in the second half of March. We are likely to see a further decline in retail sales in April because most stores are closed for the full month now. But online sales were up. That's keeping those delivery drivers busy. And as you mentioned, grocery sales were way up because, of course, supermarkets are open and people are now eating most of their meals at home.
So let's get to those questions. First, we have James in Alameda, California.
It confuses me that unemployment is at an all-time high since the 1930s and getting worse. Yet the Dow Jones Industrial Average isn't going up all week. When might we expect the economy to actually tank and what sectors will be most impacted?
So, Scott, you know, what about that? As we said, the Dow fell today. But in general, Scott, what about James's question?
It is a bit of a head scratcher. You know, last week, the stock market had its best week since 1974, even as millions more people were filing initial unemployment claims. Clearly, there is a kind of a disconnect right now between what's happening in the stock market and what we're all seeing in the real economy. I usually don't try to make too much sense of that, but what seems to be happening here is investors are focusing on the coronavirus caseloads in Europe and maybe in New York and betting Fingers crossed that perhaps the worst is behind us, as bad as it's been, and hoping for a speedy recovery ahead. The rest of us are perhaps more preoccupied with what's, you know, right in front of us at this moment, and that's obviously pretty challenging. Remember, though, investors were ahead of the curve on the downside as well. The stock market was in a nosedive weeks before most of us started hunkering down at home. And even now, the Dow is still down about 20% from its February peak.
And Scott, just this question of, I'm not sure what metric is the economy tanking. What would be the metric for that? I mean, a negative growth over a certain period of time. Like, what would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are witnessing the economy tanking. We are about to see in the second quarter of this year by far the steepest slowdown in economic growth or economic shrinkage that we have ever seen. Even steeper than probably what we saw during the Great Recession of the 1930s, and it's because it's so abrupt. And of course, it's because it's a deliberate decision by policymakers to put the brakes on the economy as the only means they have to slow the spread of the coronavirus.
Well, speaking of policymakers trying to offer some relief, the relief bill is another topic a lot of people have questions about. So this is from Bob in Portland, Oregon.
My question is there a government stimulus program aimed at helping the tens of thousands of small self-employed businesses in the United States?
Scott?
Yes, there are, although not all the programs are super helpful. For example, that Paycheck Protection Program that we've been talking a lot about, that's the loan program, which many of those loans can be forgiven for small businesses. But it really has to go to, a lot of the money has to be spent on payroll. So that doesn't necessarily help a small business person who's maybe a sole proprietor, who doesn't have payroll other than himself or herself. The program that is available, of course, is this expanded unemployment program. And in the past, freelancers, sole proprietors, independent contractors have not been eligible for unemployment. But because Congress has now widened the criteria in response to coronavirus, those folks are eligible. It is taking time, though, for that expanded eligibility to work its way down to the state level. Unemployment offices have been waiting for guidance from Washington how to apply these new rules, and I know that's frustrating for people who need the financial help right now. Those expanded federal benefits, however, are starting to take effect, so all I can say is keep trying.
Staying on the same topic, here is the next question.
Hello, this is Lorelei from Anchorage, Alaska. I keep hearing that if you received a tax refund in the last 2 years, that you'll get your stimulus check direct deposited. I owed money the last 2 years. Does the IRS have my direct deposit information if I paid using my bank account?
Scott?
Yes. If you have given the IRS your bank account number in the last couple of years, either to get a refund or because you owe the government money, you should get your coronavirus relief payment automatically, and you should get it by direct deposit. Now, if you haven't given the IRS your bank information, either because you paid your taxes or got your refund by check, or because you didn't file a tax return, you can now give the IRS your bank information at irs.gov, and that will speed up your payment so you don't have to wait for a paper check for your relief payment.
All right. If you have a question for NPR Scott Horsley, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or share it on social media using the hashtag NPR Conversation. And now we have a question from Veronica from Massachusetts, who has a question about supplemental security income. And she writes that if I receive a supplemental security income check, will I get a stimulus check? Scott, we actually have some new information on this. Do I have that right?
Yes, Veronica is eligible for a stimulus payment, and we learned just today she shouldn't have to wait for a check. Just today, the government said SSI recipients do not have to file a special tax return to get a relief payment. It's taken a little bit while, but SSI recipients are now in the same boat as Social Security recipients and disability or SSDI recipients. So if you don't ordinarily have to file a tax return and you get your benefits through direct deposit, you should automatically get your coronavirus relief payment that way as well. Now, however, if you receive Social Security, SSDI or SSI, and you don't typically file a tax return, and you have a child or children under the age of 17, you should still go to irs.gov, look for the non-filers section, and let the government know about those dependent kids, because you may be eligible for an extra $500 per child under the Coronavirus Relief Act.
Okay, Scott, squeeze one more in here. We've gotten so many questions about when people will start to see those relief checks, those $1,200 relief checks from the government. The Treasury said today was supposed to be the day for millions. What do we know?
Those payments did begin showing up in people's bank accounts this week. We've heard from some grateful people who got their money. Obviously, it won't solve all the problems, but that $1,200 or so will certainly help. And if you want to see what's happening with your payment, again, you can now go to irs.gov and click the Get My Payment feature, and you can track what's happening with your payment.
That is NPR's chief economics correspondent, Scott Horsley. Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Michelle.
Some good news in there. You can hear much more of our extensive coverage when you download the NPR One app, go to the Explore tab, and click on the coronavirus outbreak for a curated stream of stories. If you have questions, keep them coming. Go to npr.org/nationalconversation on social media. Use that hashtag NPR Conversation. And next, we are going to hear from an emergency room physician answering your questions about ventilators and airway management. And we hope you'll stick around for that.